Proverbs 21, verse number 13. Proverbs 21, verse number 13. Man. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Interesting. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Let's pray. Thank you, God, again for this night, this evening, that we can gather together, Lord, this first day of the week, the day that each week we celebrate your resurrection. And truly, it's a right way to start our week. And we thank you, God, for loving us. We thank you for so great salvation, cornerstone by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on which all other stones applied to that building, Lord, are in accordance with your stone. And God, we thank you for that. We pray, God, that you bless tonight, bless the opportunity now in your word. And we'll thank you, God, for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the poor here means weak, thin, lean, needy. And so there might be some different ideas about who is poor, who is not poor, things along those lines. But in all reality, really a good definition for poor scripturally would be one that doesn't have food or clothing. Shelter could be included in that, as well as you look at different passages. Our hearts as Christians should definitely cry out for the needs of the poor and the needy. Proverbs 29:7 says, "The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it." Amen. And so sometimes we set aside those that are poor, those that are needy, and don't have much to do with them. But the reality is that we should care for them. And we're going to spend a little time tonight just looking at who is poor. How does God say we should respond to the poor? Are all the poor our responsibility, or just certain ones? On and on. So we'll look at that. Look over at Exodus 30. At times, we find in the scriptures that whether rich or poor, we should all pay the same amount for certain things. And we find that in Exodus 30. This is an important idea. I think we see in our society what takes place when some people are given special treatment and favor in reference to paying or not paying. And it can create some challenges and disconnect from the, well, in our sense, as a nation, a disconnect there. It could cause a disconnect from a family. It could cause a disconnect from even wanting to work or be a part, or an on and on and on. In this sense, it was in reference to the temple. There was a temple tax, if you will, that all people paid the same amount on. And there was a reason for that. Exodus 30, verse number 11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. This they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary." A shekel is 20 gerahs, "and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and upward shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. When they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls, and thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls." So the temple tax should be equal. And in reality, if I was to ask, like our founding documents would state, are all men equal? Men and women, men generally, we would say in the Lord's sight, yes. But when we look at how our country has become, do people treat all men equal? No, and that's a problem. By the way, those that cry out to be treated equal oftentimes are the ones that want special treatment. Right. Special treatment means not equal.
Correct.
Amen. I want the freedom to succeed and or fail.
Right.
I have to be able to fail if I'm ever to succeed. Matter of fact, those that succeed in anything typically failed a lot of times before that that success. Amen. And so equal here meant that everybody was treated the same. Everybody gave the same offering. Everybody was equal on that plane. In church, we're all equal. I go to great lengths oftentimes to make sure you understand that I don't see myself as any better than you. There's no chair on this platform for a reason. I don't believe I'm seated in a position above you. Now, do I have oversight? Absolutely. But I want to make sure everybody knows that I am part of the congregation. And that's why I sit amongst the congregation. Amen? Might be more for me than for you. I don't know. But I know I need to know that. I need to know that we are all just members of one body. And every member is equally as important. Amen? Your little toe that you stub in the middle of the night on that coffee table leg, amen. And when it hurts, it makes sure you know it's important. Amen? And I know Luke Doherty was talking about, he dropped something on his foot and his toenail has since come off. And we all say, oh, if we felt that before, amen. And that toenail made sure his body knew it's important, amen. And one's growing back, amen, to replace the one that just departed. And so the point is that in many things we need to understand. By the way, in our families, I try. In our family, I from very on, Dana and I have talked, and all of our children are our favorites, amen. We don't want to have one seemingly that special child over the others, amen. And every family I've seen that treats one member of the family like they're less than the others, it never turns out good. Not just for the one, but for all. Because it puts in the minds of all that, hey, that might be me at some point, right? And so equal tree. Aren't you glad the Lord loves you just as much as he loves your neighbor and everybody? He loves us all the same. Aren't you glad? Now, some can have some special treatment there, but it's not special in the sense like it's without, in his word, some cause and effect. In other words, if you live a righteous life, yeah, there's blessings. But if you live a wicked life, there's a lot of loss. Amen. But God treats us all the same. Amen. And that is a blessing. So there's an equality to this. And I really think as far as the way our country was set up initially, it was a whole lot better than it is now. There's part of communism and all that is a graded system to where the rich pay more, the poor pay less. You say, but that makes sense. It does to a natural mind, carnal mind, but it doesn't spiritually, it doesn't scripturally, because it separates people. It puts a class division to people, right? And it's just not good. It's just not. We all need to be vested the same. Amen? And so, anyway, just some interesting thoughts along those lines. There are literally people that feel like they can't work because if they make too much money, then they lose benefits. And we all feel it because of the system we live in. But is that good? No. We're rewarded for not working. Amen? And that's not a good thing. We're rewarded for not doing our part as a nation. Listen, if our nation is a group of people, if one's wicked, it pulls the whole nation down. Right? If one is not working, and they could be, it pulls the whole nation down. And I don't mean necessarily working for somebody. I just mean being productive. Right? In a church scenario, if the whole body is serving the Lord with all their heart, man, we are a vibrant assembly for the cause of Christ, doing much for his cause. If only one is and the rest are not, how does that affect the church? Typically, the pastor gets blamed for that, and the leader always takes the brunt. But all of us have to do our part equally with whatever that is as God's called us to. And if we will, then we will all benefit from that strong church. Amen? And so anyway, this is the principle here in this. So the temple tax was to be equal because they had an equal atonement, equal need. They all came to the temple equal no matter their economic stature. Amen. Leviticus 14:21. In reference to the offering itself, the poor could bring something less that costs less depending on some things in the specific offerings. And that would be a merciful thing. And but in the reference to the temple tax, that was all equal for a reason. Leviticus 14:21, and if he be poor and cannot get so much, that'd be offerings for all kinds of different sins and all that, then he shall take one lamb of a trespass offering to be waved to make an atonement for him, and one-tenth deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering and a log of oil. So, and that's a whole lot less. If you read the whole text, which we don't have time for tonight, you'll see that that's a whole lot less than what others would have brought if they could afford it. So in some cases, there is that aspect. If you have more, absolutely give more. But in reference to other things, there's some things that we all do really need to just be equal in, amen. And if nothing else, for our own understanding that we are equal, amen, because we are. 1 Samuel 2, look over there, 1 Samuel 2. It's a good thing to remember. Some people have talked about how there is inequality in reference to what people have or what they don't have, and that is true. And a lot of it has to do with, some of it has to do with what family you were born into, what country you were born into, right? And all that, there's a lot to be said for that. But keep in mind, in 1 Samuel 2, verse number 6, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them amongst princes. Think of Joseph. Amen. That's an amazing story. And to make them inherit the throne of glory. Think about a spiritual context. I mean, I went from poor, beggar, sinner to child of God like that. So did you when you got saved. What an amazing thing God does. Amen. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Amen. Can I say, sometimes we need to be poor. And this poor and rich thing across the spectrum, there's probably some things right now that you're poor in reference to, other things you're rich in reference to. And that's just true of all of us. We're going to focus a little bit in reference to the economic status of people in reference to poor and rich. We'll do that for the time, because that's really what most of this is referring to. The Lord Jesus was made poor so that we could be made rich, by the way. And it says that in 2 Corinthians 8:9. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And so really, it's not about where we're at economically as much as we just want to be where God wants us to be for the spiritual aspects of our life as believers, so that we can minister to who we need to minister to, and so that we can be used by God in a way that we need to be used by God. And by the way, economically, I mean, most people believe that they need more. Right? Financially speaking, most people do believe they just need more money. But most of us, if we had more, many, if they had more, wouldn't utilize those any different than they have. If you're a waster when you have little, you'll be a waster when you have much. But for younger people, when they start working and they're only making, like when my first job, I made $3.45 an hour. My first job. Anybody make less than that when they started working? You did? $3.35, yes. $2 an hour. $2.85. $1.50 an hour? Really? $1.50 a month. Are you like 300 old, 300 years old or something? How old? That's pretty low. Salary. What do you make? I make $1.50 a month. How about you? Hey. What's that? I think he is. $150 a month. Well, if you only worked 1 hour a month, man, you made some serious cash an hour right there. So, again, the point being in reference to all that is that, you know, it's all kind of relative. You know, now today, if you make under 10 an hour, you're thinking, man, it's nothing and all that. And I know things cost more and all that, but what we make, we spend. And if you don't have a lot, you're really good at stretching things, you know. And as you have more, you stop being as good of a steward there, and you become more of just one who spends. And whether you make $100 a week or you make $10,000 a week, it's all pretty relative, and we all pretty much do the same things, right? Maybe a little bit differently, but all pretty much the same. And so poor, rich, there's a lot of relativity to it. The question is, do you have your basic necessities? Do you have food to eat? Do you have clothes to wear? Do you have shelter? And if you have those things, in God's eyes, you're rich. You're set. Right? Having food and raiment, the Bible says we're to be content. And that is very difficult for us in this society. It's very difficult. Today we think, man, do they got a 50-inch TV? Do they, you know, are they living, you know, do they have that washer and dryer? Do they have a fridge? Do they have, you know, all the modern appliances? Do they have all the gaming systems? And do they have this? And that the poor in our country have all those things, right, for the most part. Not everybody, but a lot of people that are considered poor in our country have those things. And this country is a little different than most. This is the land of plenty in reality, amen. And so, but I think the concept of who is poor and who is not, the Bible gives that concept in reference to basic necessities. Look over at Psalm 41. The Lord does bless those that help the poor. And we're going to look a little deeper here, just a little bit about who really is poor and who we should help and which poor we should help and which we should not, if we have abundance to be able to help in that area. But in Psalm 41 and in verse number 1, the Bible says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Bible does say that there is a place of blessing for those that do help the poor when they have opportunity and have abundance, that if you will give, that then the Lord will consider you in your time of need, and he will deliver you in your time of trouble, and he will bless you when you need that blessing. And so from that aspect, we do reap what we sow, and that is important. Proverbs 22:9 says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Amen. And so that's a good thing, to be one who does care about those that truly do have a need in reference to in these areas. But the Lord does not want us to help everyone. Look at 2 Chronicles 19. We don't just run around and help everyone. Amen. God doesn't want us to help everyone. Amen. Yes. Proverbs, just now, 22:9. 2 Chronicles 19:2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Now, the one he was helping was not poor. It was another king. But he was still helping someone in this context that was ungodly and hated the Lord. And so we want to be careful that we don't end up just helping all. We want to help those that God wants us to help. We want to be available for God to use when there's someone that has a need that he wants us to help with. But we don't want to just go around and help everybody. Amen? Because some people, by the way, some people that we know need to go through hard times for a time. Amen? Now, if you take this to say that this help wasn't in reference to food and clothing and housing. It was different help. It was beyond that, right? Whereas poor would be, we're supplying some at least essential life-sustaining things. Yes?
Since he was poor, he didn't have the manpower to defeat him, and absolutely destroy him and take all
Yeah. Right.
Defend myself against
the devourer, yeah. Right. And so there's been times in my life where absolutely many times where God said, help them. Dana and I pray about it. We talk about it. We oftentimes do that together. And then we help. And we just, by the way, when you help somebody, principle of scripture, this is a bonus. We don't loan people money. We just give it to them. We don't put people under tribute. A stranger you can. A brother in Christ you would never put under tribute. Right? You would never loan. And I've had people before say, I'm going to pay that back. Someone said that to me at one point, not that long ago, and I even forget who it is. Because I absolutely don't keep record of those things because I don't even want to keep record. Amen? If the Lord moves me to give, it's gone. Right? Because we don't want people to be in bondage to us as a servant. I don't want servants, amen. I want friends, I want co-laborers in Christ. And so if somebody needs, really does need help, the principle of scripture as a brother or sister in Christ, as a family member, you just give it. And people always say, I'm gonna give that back. And maybe they do, maybe they don't, who knows, he doesn't. I tell people, if you do, you're just blessing me with whatever God wants you to bless it. Because you don't owe me anything, right? And if you don't have money to give and you have to loan it out like that, then you shouldn't be giving it. Right? But if it's not earmarked, it's the Lord's anyway, then he says give, then you give. So we don't put people under bondage in that way. But the principle here is we don't always help everybody. Look at Psalm 82. Keep in mind, if you give money to a drug addict, did you help them?
No.
Are they going to buy food with that money?
No.
No. You give a drug addict a nice new phone, did you help them?
No.
But that way I can keep in contact with them. I know, but within a week, that phone's going to be gone because they're going to sell it for drugs, right? You say, man, this drunkard needs a car. Number one, no, he don't. He needs to be walking, amen? He don't need to be behind a wheel. No, not at all, amen? And so, again, we don't always help those. And by the way, if there is someone like that really does need food, then you take him and you buy him some food. You don't give them money and say, here, go buy yourself some food, because they won't. They won't. So if you care for them, just make sure that the help you're helping them with is to fill a need to sustain their life or something along those lines. And some people need to be at the bottom so they can look up and see Jesus. And we don't like that. But at some point, sometimes that's what needs to happen. And a lot of us have been in those cases. Psalm 82 in verse number 2, how long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. A lot of people are poor because they've made poor choices. And they continue to make poor choices, and they've connected themselves with people that are abusing them constantly. You really want to help them be disconnected from those people. Judge righteously. Offer help. And if they don't take it, they're not ready for it. But don't force help upon people that they don't want, right? And so there's a lot in that text right there in Psalm 82, 2 through 4. Judge properly, judge justice, judge justly, but don't judge unjustly, and accept the person of the wicked over defending the poor and the fatherless. So who helps the poor and the needy when no one else does? This is a good principle to understand. Look over at Psalm 72 and in verse number 12. By the way, who feeds the birds? You say, well, Teresa feeds birds. Amen. I know Kaylee not recently has been feeding birds. I told her to stop it around my plants. Amen. Amen. They're drawing a crowd in, drawing a big, you know, contingency in to eat the berries. When people don't go to Rural King and buy a big old bag of feed, who feeds the birds? Well, Psalm 72 verse 12 says, "For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth." This is referring to God. The poor also, and him that hath no helper. When there's no helper, we understand ultimately God helps. Amen? And that's a blessing. He shall spare the poor and needy and save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall be shall their blood be in his sight. But again, they're crying out to him. The poor and needy that cry out to God, God hears and God helps. Amen. And that is a blessing to understand. Psalm 113:7 says, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. I love it when I see someone who, for the majority of their life, has lived in poverty and they are pulled out of that. And by the way, Christianity does that to people. Amen. There's a connection between spirituality and a being taken care of physically. Amen. And so we've seen that. A lot of people that are poor don't want God's help. They don't want to do right. A lot of people that are poor would choose smoking over feeding their kids, right? And things like that. And say, well, shouldn't we help those kids be fed? Now, I'm conflicted on that, because they would be fed if the parents weren't smoking their dinner, right? They would be fed if the kids weren't drinking or going out and buying drugs with that money that was meant for that. And so the parents have responsibility there. And so you feed the kids, that just frees that adult, that parent up to go out and do with that money that something they wouldn't have had money to do if they were actually feeding their kids. So there's a lot, you have to really pray through those things, those times, and be discerning, and just being careful there. We don't want to give to a hurt. We want to give to help. Amen. We should never seek to oppress the poor because they are poor. This is one of those things we have to work at in the area. And by the way, a couple passages. We're going to turn over to Proverbs 14, Proverbs 22. Sometimes we think ill of people because of their station in life, or because they're poor, because they don't have certain things. And then we begin to think better of those that do have. Sometimes the poor are better off spiritually than the rich. Sometimes the rich are wicked. Amen. And we want to be careful of our close connection there. And I know the Bible says, make friends of the unrighteous mammon, and I get all that, amen. But we don't want to alienate the poor just because they're poor. I mean, there are people that only want to minister and reach out to those that have means, because that at least they can give. We have to fight the thought to go that route. Ultimately, it's God who takes care of us. We want to preach the gospel to all. We care about every soul, amen. Every soul matters, no matter how much money or means they have behind them. But Proverbs 14:31, he that oppresseth the poor, by the way, people prey on the poor. The lottery preys on the poor. I don't think Bill Gates is buying lottery tickets. It just isn't happening. I don't think he's going to Vegas and spinning the wheel, amen? But do you know who does? Those that don't have it. Because they have this hope that they're going to, for years, they keep having this hope. Another dollar, another $5, another $10. And they're spending money they don't have for this chance that it might work out. While those funds are going to people that are just getting rich on the backs of the poor. And there's studies on this that actually talk about who actually plays those things and does those things. And I hope you're not one of them. I actually, we were at camp and I had put 20 bucks in my pocket because thought maybe we were out playing sports and all that. And at the end of the day, I reached out, I was like, oh man, it's gone. And the Lord gave me this thought. You just gave it to someone that needed it. I'm serious. I thought, oh man, I lost. I want to go. And I was like, that is awesome. That is an awesome thought. That God uses those ways to give people something when they have a need. How many times have you had a need like that and you found something? Right? Well, someone had to lose it for you to find it. Right? And a peace came over me, and I was like, that is amazing, right? So praise the Lord. God knows. Amen. But we don't want to reproach the poor, because the Bible says in this text, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. But he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. So we find, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. So we honor God. We don't oppress the poor. And in doing so, we actually honor God. And we find that that mercy that we have on the poor is glorifying to God. It's a right way. It's something that's totally different than we typically see in our world, but it comes because we are Christians. Proverbs 22:16, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want, shall lack. So we want to make sure we're given to the right causes, to the right people, and we don't want to oppress the poor to increase our own riches. Proverbs 22:22, rob not the poor because he is poor. Sounds like that's a problem. You know, scammers and all that prey on the poor. You know, it's wrong. It is absolutely wrong. They prey on the elderly. They prey on people that don't have it, and they try to, you know, give these stories and all that to help this, that, and the other, and they pocket these things. Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoil them. So just some interesting principles here. Look over at Amos 4. I'm going to get through a couple more verses, then we're going to look at some practical things in reference to the poor in our part with them. Amos chapter 4, verse number 1. Amos chapter 4, verse 1. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. And by the way, that happened. And ye shall go out of the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palaces, saith the Lord. The whole thought on this text is that there are those that oppress and steal and rob from the poor, and then they take and they just use it for their own. Think, by the way, this is this country and many others. Isn't it? Do you ever wonder how a person can be in politics for 3, 4, 5, 10, in Biden's case, 50 years, and have millions in the bank and homes spread all over there? Bernie Sanders, the king of capitalism, has multiple homes and is sitting large on millions and millions of dollars, and he says he cares for the poor. Hogwash. While they pass these $1 trillion spending bills, and laced within every spending bill, it came out on that COVID relief stuff, this much went to COVID, the rest went to line the pockets of all their cronies. This is what's going on around us, and it's no different than what's being talked here by the preacher Amos. Amen? And then they get everybody fired up, and they say, oh, you don't care about the poor. No, I do care about the poor. $1 trillion spending bill, if we really would take that and give to help the poor, that would be great. Not that we have it anyway. That's not where the money's going. It's not. Wake up, amen. And don't let them use you as some pawn. It just isn't the case. Don't worry. It will come back and haunt our country and the leadership thereof. Anyway, it will affect us as well, but that's fine. Isaiah 10. Look at Isaiah 10, verse number 1. That's why it's so hard to discern what really helps and what really doesn't. I would prefer that the government just let us keep all that, and we decide who we help,
right,
and who we don't. So we can each pray about it, and we can each, in God's direction, give to really help. Amen, as we should. Anyway, Isaiah 10, verse number 1. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people. To take away the rights from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. Interesting. In Isaiah, as he's preaching here, woe unto those that decree decrees, make laws that are prescribed that really don't, they on the onset, it looks, they're meant to help, but they only hurt. I know Brother Luke spends a lot of time, the abortion mill and all that. Do you know where all the abortion mills are? In the inner cities.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? Why don't you find those places in the uppity up places? Why not? I'll tell you why. Because the original intent was to get rid of the poor and the impoverished. Do your research. When everybody's out there protesting, we want our rights, we want to kill our babies. Keep in mind why that was all started. It was to get rid of the poor, the lesser class, so they stop having babies. That's what it was for. So I don't like that kind of preaching. I'm just telling you the truth. You do your homework, and you tell me what you find before you just go out there and start signing on to somebody else's prescription that really is meant to hurt you. Man, it's one thing to make a bad decision and hurt yourself. Man, it's something else when someone deceives you so that you hurt yourself. Amen? And that's what's going on. You need to be careful. If you will help the truly poor and not those who are not, God says he will supply you with means to help. That channels of blessing, that song we sing. If you'll really be discerning in this and seek to help those that God wants you to help and not help those that God doesn't want you to help, God will use you. He'll use you in a great way in this area. Proverbs 28:8. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Gather it. It's like the whole Robin Hood scenario. Amen? Except you don't have to do the robin. Amen? God does that for you and then supplies you with means so that you can be a help and a blessing to the poor. Who does God consider poor? Look over at 2 Thessalonians 3. Mentioned it. Those who have, do not have food, raiment, and we could throw shelter in there as well based on a passage in Matthew. Because of circumstance, in a sense, out of their control, that's who's poor. I'll show you what I mean. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, food absolutely is a key component to determine who's poor. Someone that does not have food, yes. But what if they're poor because they won't work? Then God says, that's not a poor person. That's a lazy person. Right? Now, if they can't work, different story. If they can but won't, not poor. They may not have food. But that hunger is supposed to motivate them to work. Right? That's scripture. Proverbs 20 and verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Bible says that the sluggard misses opportunities when he could have worked. And because of that, he will reap then no food or reap the condition of not having when he needs. Proverbs 26:16, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. The sluggard has all kinds of excuses on why he couldn't work. Like, oh, it was cold out. Oh, man, it was raining. I was tired. They can render a lot of reasons, but reasons don't feed you. Amen? And we have to be able to go and be productive. The poor who are poor, to prove a point sometimes, will not work. Exodus 23:3. This is interesting if you look at this verse. Exodus 23:3. You know, some people don't work just because they don't want to work. They could work. They're really not a sluggard. They don't want to work because they They don't have to. They're going to prove a point. And they're just going to do what they want to do. And whatever that may be. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:3, neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. It's an interesting verse. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. The word countenance here means favor or honor. To show them that you're with them in countenance. Don't countenance them. Don't, what's the word we would use for that? Don't, I was thinking of a different word. Appease. It's with your, what is it? Not quite the word, but yeah, you guys are getting it. But don't make him think he's doing the right thing. Don't, in a sense that agreeing, I was going to patronize him. Don't go along with him, the poor in his cause. Cause means controversy or strife, his contest. This means he has an issue. And the Bible says, don't support the poor man in his controversy. There's a lot of poor people that they've been offended, they've been hurt, they have a beef. And they're poor because they're mad. And they're just not going to do it. And in the day that we live, you can get away with that. There's a lot of handouts out there. But here's the problem. It leaves them in that condition. Years ago, before all these handouts were available, a man couldn't afford to do that because nobody else was going to take care of them, nor those that were around them. So they had to just get over it and work. Today, unfortunately, that's not often the case. And so don't countenance a poor man in his cause. By the way, parents, don't coddle your children in their cause. Someday they're not going to have you there. And if you coddle them now and you don't teach them what it means to work and how to take responsibility for their actions, it's going to come back and hurt them. Do we not live in the day that nobody wants to feel the consequences for their actions? Yeah. Everybody wants you to pay for their bad decisions. Right? That's the day we live. Where'd they learn that, mom and dad? Society. They've got away with it. And it's not right. It's not good for them. We need to let those around us feel the consequences of their bad decisions so that they learn that it's not somebody else's responsibility to take care of you. To whom much is given, much is required, and God has given us much. So we have a responsibility. Amen. And if everybody just coddles them and countenances them in their cause, it doesn't help them. That's the whole point. Yes, help the poor, but help them. Don't hurt them. Right? And sometimes helping somebody is hard. Who to help? When to help? That's all a decision that we seek the Lord on those details. Amen? Turn over to Proverbs 23. While you're going there, a very well-known passage in James 1:27, a widow and an orphan are poor because of their circumstances. So we want to help them. That's what I mentioned earlier. Who is poor? Someone that is not able to eat, and they're in circumstances out of their control. They may be somebody with a sickness and they can't work and all that. Fine, let's help them. They may be a widow, and in the Bible day and all that, the woman wasn't going out to work. They were really stuck. If their husband died and there were no male children, all that, no family to take care of them, they were in a bad place. They had no means. They're poor. They're poor and there's none to help. So help them if you have that opportunity. Or an orphan, the fatherless. They didn't choose that. They've been abandoned. Amen. And they're at an age, they're not going to go out and be productive, at least unless they're out thieving and steal all that. That's what happens with a lot of the orphans And then they were taken advantage of. A lot of orphans were gathered up and they were put, they still are today. And they're used for things. That happens even unto this day. And then they're basically almost enslaved to that life just so they have food and clothing and shelter while others take advantage of them. That isn't right. So you and I who would not do that but would help truly, we should help. So James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So we're keeping ourselves unspotted. We're leading them to live that unspotted life as we seek to help in their affliction. Proverbs 23, verse number 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. We need to guide our heart in this area as we lead others to guide their heart. Be not among wine bibbers. Just if your group of friends are a bunch of wine bibbers, probably the wrong set of friends to have.
Right.
Amen. Guide your heart away from them. Among riotous eaters of flesh. If all your friends are a bunch of gluttons, amen. Probably not the group you want. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to what? Poverty. And drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. So, if we're going to help a drunkard or a glutton, someone along these lines, or someone that's lazy, the primary help they need is not food and clothing or even a place to live. That may come, but it will come with a lot of strings attached. Because the primary help they need is their heart needs guided away from these things unto the Lord. Amen. That becomes, listen, as Christians, we are all for helping people with their physical needs. Second, their first need is always spiritual. And somebody may be truly impoverished just out of circumstances, and their heart is right with God. And for that person, I say their primary need is physical. But most of the time, the primary need is always spiritual. So we don't want to help physically and hurt the spiritual. Do you see what I'm saying? But we can do that. We can, my boss, as I said before, he always said, let us not love people to death. Let's love them to life. Amen? What an amazing saying. If in our help we hurt people spiritually, we haven't helped them.
Right.
We haven't helped them. Not as a Christian should help. God is not helping people physically while alienating his mindset from their spiritual condition. Every time God helps somebody, he does it with their spiritual condition first in his mind. Amen? And so we need to do the same. Look over at Luke 11. Luke 11. How are you then to help a poor person? Luke 11. Verse 5. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. By the way, whether it's midnight, middle of the night, or midnight, it's always midnight in our lives. Amen? In a sense. Amen? Say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Which is to say, give me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me. I have nothing to set before him. So, a friend has a need. He don't have it. He goes to somebody else. Help me out. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. That's the first thought. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. What he's saying is he really doesn't want to give, but it's his friend. He's going to do it. He's going to give. A couple of principles here. You should help the poor that you know.
Amen.
Listen, when someone comes to you, they're on the side of the road, they're begging, you don't know them. People call the church asking for help. One of the first questions we ask them is, have you talked to your pastor about this? Well, I don't have a pastor. Well, what church do you go to? Well, I don't go to church. Okay. Then I guess maybe you should have that relationship established with someone before you have need. I mean, there's others recently that the question, Dana and I talk about these things. Someone, we're going to go ahead and help this person with food and all that. Well, that person hasn't been coming to church. That person hasn't, I know, but they have need. Maybe they do. Tell them to ask their friends to help. That might sound hard, and I know there's opportunities there, but let us not just be viewed as, hey, the ones that can get a free lunch from. Does that make sense? So the ones you should seek to help, the poor that you should seek to help are those you know first. Though you know them. You know what they're going to do with what you give them. I don't want to give something to somebody that I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. So what I'll do is, instead of giving something to someone I don't know, typically what I'll do is I'll say, I'll hire you. You work for me, I'll pay you. Deal's done. You worked, I paid you a wage. You got the money, I got this done. Benefit. See you later. While you're working, I might talk to you about the Lord. Added bonus. But that helps somebody. Now they know what it's like to work, receive a wage. Bonus, that's help. Does that make sense? Me pulling 20 bucks out of my pocket and say, here you go, did nothing to help them. Except give them 20 bucks, which is going to go like that. And then they're still going to have a need. Does this make sense? I don't know them. I don't know them, you see. And so the other people will work for food. No, they won't. You go ask. We've done this. Ask them to go do a job for you. They'll yell at you. Many do. They don't want to work. They just want you to feel sorry for them.
Even if you offer them food, they may accept the food, but they won't use it.
Now, there may be a couple out there that are legit. There may be. But again, principle in Scripture, help the poor that you know. The poor should ask for help from those they know. In our text, it was the one that didn't have it that went to the one that did. The one that did wasn't busy looking for where he could help. He was busy about his life, and then the poor came to him and said, hey, I need help. And then he vetted that. He stopped, vetted it, ultimately gave. Amen? So help the poor you know. Number two, if you're poor, ask for help. Say why? It's humbling. We don't like to be humbled. Sometimes we need to be humbled. Amen? The poor need to ask. Those that have the ability to help a friend who is poor should help. Amen? Even when it's not the right opportunity or the right time frame, if we can help, we should help. There's scripture for that. We should help and deliver like Christ. Psalm 40, verse 17. And this is reiterated in Psalm 70, verse 5. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. My help and my deliverer. Every time we help somebody, make sure that there is a spiritual help connected with the physical help. As soon as they ask for help, for physical, they've opened themselves up to you helping also spiritually. And if someone comes to you and only wants physical help and they tell you, don't preach to me, fine with me. You don't need physical help right now. Not for me. Because I know their physical help is most likely there because of their spiritual condition. You say, that's hard. That's Bible. Amen. And we want to be careful. Don't squander and use what God's given you to help those that hate him. God's word is the solution for poverty. Psalm 37:25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Matthew 6:31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. I mentioned, when nobody physically will help, who will help? God will help. Amen? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen? So, should we help the poor? Absolutely. Our text said this: whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. No. Let us not stop from hearing the cries of the poor. But let us also understand that the cries of the poor have a physical component and a spiritual component. Let us hear the cry of both. And let us seek to help both and not just one and not the other. Let us not just focus on helping the spiritual. If there's a physical need while we're helping the spiritual, help both if you can. Amen. Both are tied. Both are connected. But at the same time, don't just help the physical. When there is a spiritual need, the physical is the impetus for you to have a platform to minister unto the spiritual need. Take it. Use it. Both are needed. Amen. 4:80. We're out of time. This is a serious conversation to be had, but there's a lot of principle on this in the Word of God, and we would be wise to know those principles. There's more, but I think some good have been given, and you can take it further, amen, but I do appreciate you. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for tonight. Thank you for what you've given. Lord, thank you for how you've abundantly blessed each of us in this room. You've given us many opportunities to help. We've been in an impoverished state at times. I can think of times in my life where I was very, very low in where I was, and without shelter, without food, and lost. And my true need in that day was spiritual, and yet still there was a physical supply. And so God, give us discernment in these areas. Help us not to grow callous to the needs of the poor. Help us not to hear the cry. Help us not to just take a situation, even like those on the side of the road, and dismiss every one of them. But at the same time, Lord, help us to know those that we're going to help in some way, some facet. Give us wisdom in this. And God, I pray that you'd bless, Lord, as you lead us each in this area. But God, help us to understand both the physical and the spiritual component that exists when we go to help. Bless, I pray, move in this area. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to your leading in this. And I know you'll bless accordingly in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.